This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we go back to one of the very first episodes we ever recorded of the Ask Women podcast when there was one more nice lady on our show. And all of us are going to be talking about what signs to look for that tell you a woman is DTF. That's down to have, not a very nice word. Anyway, keep listening to this episode because it's also Adam Gallaud's first time on our podcast where he dissects how to write the best online dating profile. So stay tuned.
PodcastOne.com presents the Ask Women Podcast. A place where two female comics and a professional wing girl get together to dissect the female mind.
You don't know how I feel.
And explain it to men in terms they can actually understand. Now, here's the lovely ladies of Ask Women.
Welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get advice straight from the source. What's up, you guys? How you doing? I'm Haley White, and I am joined here today by my sexy co-hosts, comedian Kristen Carney and best-selling author, relationship expert Marnie Kinross. And of course, our lovable, sexy man in the house, Mo.
Yep.
Mo.
Yep.
Love it.
How are you guys doing?
I love that you were introducing us. It sounded like the best-selling author was going to be attached to my name. And it felt so right.
It will one day. One day.
You never know.
It felt so right.
Those children's books are going to make it.
Big time. Your voice, again, still so sexy. Different than last
sick.
Time.
I was like just in my apartment and I have been watching the best show ever. Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I'm watching. I finished it.
Do you know when Do you know when I heard?
That's a Netflix original series.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing.
Do you know when I heard that show, the name of that show, I just assumed it was about tanning.
Really?
The untold story of the Hollywood.
I've been seeing the signs everywhere, and then I share a Netflix account with my sister, or actually I steal her Netflix. I don't pay for it. And I saw that she's been watching it because you can see what they're watching. And I text her and said, like, is this a good show? Should I watch it or is it a waste of time? And she said, awesome. Start watching it right now. I started watching it 2 days later. I'm done with the full first season.
Saturday night,
amazing.
I was getting buck wild in my living room with that show.
So but what is it about?
It's about, it's a true story. It's about a girl who basically, when she was like young, 20s, she was a temporary lesbian. We've all been there, right?
I love that term.
It's a phase. So she was dating this chick and basically her girlfriend in kind of like a, she needed some help smuggling drug money. It was just actually a suitcase of money. It didn't end up being anything more than that, just on one of their trips. So she's like, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she ends up getting caught later on when she's not a lesbian anymore and she's engaged to
so
Jason
she's just
Biggs.
Confused. She's a very confused woman.
Not
very
anymore. She's now like very like, you know, yuppie, white, suburbia, engaged, and now she has
cleanses.
To go to jail.
Yeah,
and Jason Biggs is an actor in the show, or she's actually married to him in real life?
He's the actor who plays her husband on the show. But it is based on a New York Times article that was written about a guy. That's what you were saying.
Well, it's based on a true story. Maybe the article was written about her. Or
So what? She goes to jail for drugs?
For smuggling the money,
for being involved in like the ring of helping out. She was named as one of the people, and the whole. I'm not going to give anything away, but it's just interesting to see what unfolds when she gets into this woman's prison. There's wacky, crazy characters, which I'm sure are obviously based on things that she really experienced.
I think so, yeah.
So it's a good, it's a very, very good show.
You know, for all our guy listeners, I think finding a woman that used to be a lesbian is a great partner.
Or just a temporary.
Because she's going to be down for threesomes.
You can never be a temporary.
Right. Wait, is that right?
I think so.
So you're down for threesomes because you used to be a temporary lesbian?
Kind of, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be rules in the threesome.
I mean, it's like, it can kind of change, but I think, I mean, I wasn't like a full-on les, but, you know.
Like a part-time lesbian.
She enjoyed the flavor of a little box.
No.
See, then that's not a part-time lesbian.
I don't know.
That's a part-time experiment. I don't even know what that is. Maybe. If you don't go down there, you're not a lesbian.
It just seems like to me like a part-time lesbian is just a full-time slut.
Well, that could be true. I did have those days.
It's just kind of what it seems like. It's more of a fun expression of just like freedom rather than sexuality, really, right?
But is connecting with another soul mean that you're a slut, Kristen?
I can't. Women don't have souls, so I can't connect with them.
Oh, they have souls.
I swear they don't have any. I'm the only one with one.
The only one.
Yeah.
Well, Mo, you were telling us about your weekend, and you had an interesting story that you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah, I had an interesting weekend. So I was with a group of people for a birthday party, and I walk into a house.
That sounds interesting.
It was so interesting. No, but I came into the house after, you know, a long day at the beach, and we're about to get ready at my buddy's house, and he had all the, you know, my girlfriend was there, but there were other girls there, and I walk right in, and I see this girl, and she's this really hot girl, looks like a model.
Oh, I was there. I think that was me.
I think it was
the girl with the soul in the corner.
Yeah. Well, I was a model that night, so I didn't have a soul.
But right away, right when I walked in, she was giving me this really interesting energy. It was a very high sexual energy. You know, she was talking over the other girls to get my attention.
What does that mean?
What does that look like?
I've never embodied that energy before. So explain to me what that would appear to another man.
Okay, so it's like when you walk in as a man and you feel the focus of one person on you directly.
Okay.
Like they are staring at you, staring holes into you. Not only that.
You feel it.
Oh, you feel it for sure.
In fact, it's a scientific thing. When you're 8 feet away from someone, whether they're looking at you or not, you can actually... that energy is real. You can feel that they're looking at you. So even when you're turning your back, you probably could feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, you know, and then I took off my clothes to go jump in the pool in front of the house. And she's like, I could feel her staring at me the whole time.
Oh, really?
My God.
When she was having
conversations. Did you do it slowly?
Anytime I said something, she tried to take part in the conversation. She was definitely fighting for my attention. I'm thinking, my girlfriend's in the other room and this chick is ready to go right now.
Did she know you had a girlfriend?
I don't think she cared.
She didn't care.
She didn't care. She was ready to go. But I kept this to myself, and I'm like, you know, maybe I'm just – maybe because I'm on this show, I think all the chicks want me now. But no. But
I feel like hyper aware now.
I'm hyper
aware. It's great.
Yeah. So we get in the car, you know, cut to 2 hours later. I'm with my girlfriend. I'm with my buddy who it was his birthday and his girlfriend's friend and so on, right? And she's in the car, and she's like, you know that girl at my house, the tall model-looking one? I'm like, yeah. She's all, oh, that girl, she's kind of weird. She, you know, I'm friends with her outside, and she called me today. And when she got to my house, she just wanted to know what man was off-limits and what man wasn't. And that she, it was a full moon.
She was ready.
It was a full moon. Ow. She is ready to go.
So she was really hairy, and like she came out.
Yeah. She starts growing fangs.
No, but it got me to think. And I said, I totally picked up a sexual energy from her. Like, she was ready to go. And then it got me to thinking, like, this has happened before. And I feel like for men especially, it's a problem because women sometimes are ready to go and we don't see the signs, or we're too afraid to bring it up, and then we lose our opportunity.
Yeah, it's a window. Sure. Yeah, it's definitely a window. It's like the boner window.
And women, the boner. You got to capitalize on that boner window. I mean, otherwise you leave and it's done, you know? Obviously your situation was different, but I've had that where you go into a room and you're like in the mood, and and especially if you're picking up on it, guys, like something's going on. We aren't subtle when we want something.
Right.
We know what we want.
For sure. So what does that look like? So again, piercing through you or like at you, you can feel her from around the room.
Well, I thought we could
laughing
talk
at
about
your jokes
during the mansplaining.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that. So then let's get into this week's chapter of the man's playbook.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
The longest intro ever.
I know,
you guys
seriously,
like that?
I like it. Well, I just like watching Mo. He gets really into it.
Mo is
we
like,
could have gone on for 10 more minutes. He would have loved it.
We can't finish the chapter because everyone's asleep by the time that's over. And they're like just stuck on one chapter. That was an amazing sound effect. Oh my God.
I do a really good snore. That's a snore.
It's a good snore.
Okay, then.
I love it. All right, so this week's chapter in the man's playbook is dedicated to taking action and what to do if you've got an open window and you have like half an hour. What do you do to get
roll
the girl?
Roll through it just like Indiana Jones, baby.
What is that?
I don't get it.
I don't know. You just picture the big, like, heavy rock, like, coming down slowly, and then you just get caught in
it. I picture a boner and then the window, like, coming down to shut it up. Like, close
it's
it
essentially,
off.
Yeah.
The boner window.
Like, no, can't have it. So what would you advise, Mo? Because you've obviously been in the situation before.
You know, there was another guy who was with us that was single, and I started trying to point this out to him.
Was he getting the same energy, or was it just you?
You know, I was getting the energy, but I think anyone could have taken it. Because this guy was a good-looking guy, too. So I'm like, listen, boy, you're a good-looking man. I don't care if I'm getting the energy. You're the one who could take it home right now if you want to. It's like, I know we're all going out tonight.
Right.
But by the time tonight is done, she's going to be either gone with someone else or it's going to be over.
And you said he was a birthday boy, right?
Yeah, he was the birthday boy.
That's really sad. I mean, he wasn't necessarily getting the energy and then he didn't go with
and
it.
He's
and he ended
a
up
super
alone.
Good looking guy and he has no confidence in himself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he doesn't, but he needs to.
Because he hangs
to.
Next to you, Mo. It's hard to have self-esteem next to someone as high as you. It's
so tough. Do you think if he would have capitalized on it, then he could have had the chance to take her home? I mean,
yeah, he could have had the chance to take her home.
She was
right
game
there.
For anything.
Whoa, really, but wait a second. So let's say this guy goes up to her and he's like, she's game for everything. I'm just going to start talking about my rock hard boner. Like, right. Like, does that episode. Work? Does that work?
Nope.
No, it doesn't. No. It's a complete turn off. It's disgusting and creepy. So what? So if she's got this energy, so Haley, you were talking about before, you know, like you've had that energy before.
Yeah.
We all have. Maybe not Kristen, but we have. So like when you are in that moment, what are you looking for?
I think that you're looking for a guy to be the aggressor because she's being aggressive in the way she's giving off energy. She yeah. obviously wants something. It's on you to take it and approach it and pounce. I do think you have to be classy in the way you approach her, you know, like your whole thing in like observation, like, you know, and be cute and funny. Don't talk about your boner. But yeah, that's on you at that point. She's looking for you to be aggressive and you have nothing to lose.
For sure.
I mean, worst case, it's like you misread her and then it's nothing's happening anyways.
That's true.
I've referenced Three Amigos on this podcast before.
Oh, yeah.
I have another one. There's a scene where...
Is this from the Mighty Ducks?
No, from Three Amigos.
Oh, okay.
Didn't I just say Three Amigos?
I don't know. You have all these like 80s and 90s cheesy references.
I'm no Mighty Ducks, though. That's below me.
Okay. I am.
Let's get
what?
Back to Three
I totally
Amigos.
Am.
Anyway, there's a scene. Basically, what Haley's saying is...
Oh, you thought she said Emilio.
No, I just thought she was going to come up with a different movie.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
My only movie is Three Amigos. That's the only one I've seen for a lot of years. But Haley was saying it's like we're putting out a big vibe saying, hey, look at me. And then like you don't and you just there's nothing more a woman can do.
Yeah.
It's like I've done everything I can. So anyway, there's a scene in Three Amigos where Steve Martin is standing on top of a wall and he's trying to get the attention of Chevy Chase and Martin Short. And he's basically like, look up here. And he's like, caw, hey, you, guys. And like, they're just not looking. And so it's like, he just got totally frustrated. And I just pictured that's what this woman was doing. She's like, look at me. You know, like, you can't make it any more obvious unless you just say like, hey, you, guys.
It's so true.
Stick that's it in
great.
Here.
I wasn't sure if that was going to pan out, Kristen.
It
that actually
out.
Did work out. Yeah.
What's crazy is that, you know, she was kind of confined into our group because we all went out to dinner. But the minute we went to a bar, I literally saw her for 10 minutes at the bar and then she was gone.
Really? She was just ready.
She was gone. And it was a full moon. She's like, I don't know. It's a full moon. I got a moon ring on. It's
this
turning
this
weird
do
color.
A moon ring? Is it 1990?
I think people get horny on full moons.
I do.
Women especially.
Well, I get horny a lot. I don't know if it's on full moons.
Like
but.
Full moons, like you just see like a giant bare ass or like you there's actually a full moon.
It can be triggered in many ways, obviously. It's when that, like, I don't know, Mercury and retrograde, is that the same thing?
No.
I never know. We live in LA. I hear all these things. Like, I'll walk into a retail store and be like, oh, I have such a headache. And I'll be like, it's because Mercury's retrograde.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? It's because I have a headache. I'm tired.
I love that, though. I can justify why my life sucks just because the planets are going backwards. Whatever.
I think we sign the contract to do this during Mercury retrograde?
I think so.
Did we really?
Yeah, I think so.
A bad sign.
Is it a bad sign or maybe it's a good sign?
It means it's a bad sign. You're never supposed to sign anything or get into anything
long-term. Yeah, no obligations.
Right, during
the retrograde. It's always in retrograde, though.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what it means
either. I'll tell
you. Let's go, hippie.
Science moment. when we actually, Mercury has a certain orbit and it actually changes path at a certain time. So when it changes path and goes backwards, this is the most, I'm sorry, there's actually real scientists listening. Like this is not even close.
Yes,
but it basically goes in the other direction and for a period of time. And everything gets fucked up.
Right. So pretty much. Okay, that's interesting. Sorry, I took away from the story.
That's
but
okay. So well, one thing I was going to say is that before when I was single and I had these opportunities come up, I'd fuck them up because for some reason I thought as a guy, there's rules. I can't just meet a girl in 30 minutes and say, let's go home, and she's going to say yes. But
yeah, you can.
In this case, it was that's exactly what happened. And this has happened before. I went to a party before with a girlfriend of mine, and we were just friends. And we literally got to the party less than 30 minutes into the party. She's like, hey, I don't need to ride home. I'm like, what? She's like, I'm going home with this guy right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just got here. She's like, yeah, but I haven't gotten laid in a while and I need it so bad right now. I got to go.
I think guys underestimate how much women love sex. I'm going to say it. They're like, oh, I mean, maybe not
they
Kristen.
They overestimate it.
Okay. And that's why we work. But I always was told like, yeah, girls just don't really want as much and they're always scared to initiate it. I'm like, fuck that. Yeah, we do. Yeah. And if you feel that, she's definitely in beast mode, as Mo would call it. Yeah. And so it's you got to capitalize.
Like a but she needs to be met with a beast as well.
Yeah.
It's not like you need to, like, you waddle over to her and just, like, she'll take you right then and there. You have
be
to
the
actually
man.
Bring something to the table as well. So you had a lot of situations where you lost out.
I've lost out, yeah. It's fucked up.
But you've actually won in the end because look where you are now.
Exactly. Yeah. You're with your lady. You're happy.
I'm with my lady.
I've had that even happen, like, not for sex, but, like, I've walked into a bar once, talked to a guy, I think for 30 seconds, and then just made out for the rest of the night.
I love nights like that.
Yeah, and that's fun because you're just in the mood for it. You're like, I want to kiss somebody tonight, or I want somebody to grab my boobs. Like, something. I've had those urges as well. Totally
I love kissing in general. I think it can
too.
Be so passionate and, like, random, and I remember, like, going into bars and just, like, making out.
I feel like that's, like, there are women who go out at a bar and just want to hook up that night, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you look at the percentages in a bar, there's, like, I'd say, like, 40% of them want to just hook up that night.
And yeah, then just 40%?
Yeah, why not? Fuck it, 40.
He's I guarantee like you 40% of the women in the bar aren't single.
Well,
depends what bar you're going to. We're going to, like, the older people's bars now.
I know.
Like, yeah, if you go to a younger... I was in Huntington Beach this weekend, and they are having the U.S. Open down there. And it was all these young people. I don't even know when I've been surrounded by so many young people. Like, young meaning, like, 15 to 22, and all of them
and
had, like, obscenities.
That was, like, me at Coachella. Everyone was, like, in eighth grade. I'm like,
know,
oh,
right?
God.
But all these girls were in bikinis, which was fine. But they all had, like, horrible things written on them. Like, this one girl had something on her back that said, stick it in here. Oh. I swear she was 16 years old. She was very...
She's ready to go.
Yeah, see, she's ready to go.
Oh,
probably not. If you
God.
Went up there and you, like, tried to stick it in, she'd be like, get away from me,
hopefully
weirdo.
Hopefully it was just an arrow pointing to her purse. Stick your money in here.
Exactly. That would be okay, but oh, God, it was horrible. Anyway, but...
Wow, that's more aggressive than I feel like when we were younger.
Oh, for sure. But at younger bars, like, people who are... I'm from Canada, so you can be younger and drink, but like 19 to 25, for sure, more people are single in those spaces. And if you're like taken and are in a couple, you're kind of boring at those bars.
That's true.
Yeah.
So for our guys then, what kind of advice could we give them?
Okay, well, number one is if you see somebody who's ready for it, like, you got to be ready for it as well. You have to man up and approach them, and you still have to flirt and give them the attention, but act on it. I don't want to say don't act like chivalrous or like a gentleman, but, you know, there's no rules at that point. There is no rules. It's about having fun and having an exciting moment. Doesn't mean you're going to have a long-term thing. You're going to mess her up by having sex with her that night. You're in a moment together, and I think that the main point I'm trying to make, although I'm blabbing on and on, is just really, you know, seize the moment and go after it.
And this is like carpe la slut.
Yeah, exactly.
And girls want an adventure. Like, I think, I remember a time I was at the Roosevelt Hotel and I met a guy and we ended up just running around the hotel and like making out in different rooms. And it was like the best night of my life.
Oh,
it was like
so fun
back then. And it was like something that girls want an adventure. So if you're able to like be the aggressor and like, you know, take her outside and just like run around and kind of like, take her on an adventure. That's what she wants.
Absolutely, especially a woman who's in that mode. You're up for something like a little riskier.
And guys, trust your gut. Like, if she's giving you that look and that energy, trust your gut and just go after it.
Right, for sure. The confidence. I mean, the confidence will just if you don't have it inside. build it just by the fact that she's noticing you and know that that means that you are something to her.
For
so
sure.
Just use that confidence and don't worry about all the days that you haven't had confidence.
What about if she's noticing Mo and totally ignoring you?
Let Mo take her. I don't think put like trying to fight over, like battling like we're in the wild or something in the jungle. I don't think if a man is being looked at by a woman for another man to intercept. It's kind of like when you have a sweet romantic dance like back in the 50s and then the man comes over and he's like, may I cut in?
Like, no.
It's like, no, we were just enjoying the moment and then you kind of kill the moment.
But so, you know, she would have been down for a bridge.
But yeah, I mean, if she's she's super into it, and I think a bridge means a threesome. Is that what that means?
Yeah, two guys and a girl.
I don't know. Then go for it. If she's wearing leopard print, go for it. She probably wants
any kind of animal patterns involved. There's no questions.
Right, right.
Threesome. Well, that wraps up this week's segment or this week's chapter in the man's playbook. And before we wrap up to go to our break, I want to talk to you ladies about dating younger women because we have Adam Galad with us and he is a specialist or an expert.
That's just long for God, right?
Yeah, exactly. For God. Dating younger women. But I want to talk to you about what you think about older men dating younger women.
I think it's a natural thing for women to date older men, especially because women mature faster. Yeah. And I think that sometimes women are looking for something different in their life, especially when you're around 25 to 30, then that some of the men aren't quite there yet. So I do think that it's a natural thing for women to want to date older men. However, the gap can be tricky. If you're 25, you're dating a 40-year-old, I found with my friends who've done that, it's hard for them to relate as much to kind of his world. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. The thing is, I think what you're missing, and I know this might sound shallow, but that's pretty much who I am.
Yeah.
But when you're right now, say you're 45 and you grew up in a time where, you know, this band, like Tears for Fears was cool or something like band, you know, and she doesn't know who that is. There's a disconnect because that's what shaped you. All of those experiences have shaped you into the person you are now. And when you're with a girl who's younger and can't really connect to all those experiences, there is a huge gap.
But you guys are talking about being in a relationship.
In a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about, like, I guess this question is coming from, at my shower, like a long time ago, there were two girls who were having an argument there about one of my my husband's friends who was 37 and dating girls that were between the ages of 22 and 25. And one of them, both of them were kind of saying it was disgusting. And I was being like the middle ground for that argument. I forget what their whole opposing views were, but basically they were saying it's disgusting and that he should be dating women his own age. And I find that a lot of women, especially older women, like 30 plus, get really disgusted by older men who want to date women in their 20s.
I think that happens because it sounds like a little insecurity on the woman's part.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, you're only dating like girls that are really like thin and tight and look great and have no wrinkles. It's like, yeah, because
they're awesome.
That's yeah, what they want.
But I do think I have found that I think men find it easier to date a girl where she's not really going to challenge him at all. So I'm talking like young, like, you know, early 20s and they're like upper 40s. Like that's a girl who's just going to be excited with whatever you give her.
What is wrong with that?
Well,
that's fine for them. Yes.
Men, here's what's messed up for women, but it's great for men is, men, we get better with age.
Oh, don't do this argument.
We get
it
better.
It just makes me depressed, don't. Actually. Women, I was talking about how my face was getting saggy in the bathroom.
The truth is men get older, younger women, and all types of women find them more and more attractive. It's just how it is. And for these older men, per se, that didn't necessarily get those super hot girls when they were younger because they did not have the confidence to get those girls.
Money.
Now that they've been, or the money, exactly. Because right. Yeah. A lot of men believe money and confidence go hand in hand, and it really does in some cases. But now that they're older, they have money, they have some status, they now understand women and have that confidence they didn't have when they were younger, they're going after these younger girls. And it's purely for physical. Like, older men don't go after a younger girl to have a conversation. It's purely physical. It's the tight skin. It's the nice body.
Well, and they're more exciting. They're more open. They're bigger risk takers. They don't have as much, like, baggage attached to them.
Yeah,
they
haven't been hurt as much.
There's not going to be as much nagging and complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I find is the core of a relationship, by the way.
Right.
But let's talk. Let's also talk about these girls. Like, a lot of these girls aren't, like, coming from solid family homes.
Right.
Some of these girls are missing that father figure in their life. And 40-year-old dude becomes that kind of figure.
We were talking about it in the car on the way over here, Marnie and I, about how it is a psychological thing sometimes that girls are looking to fill that void of what their dad didn't give them. Or if their dad was a bad guy, they would look for those qualities too. So I think that it definitely is a psychological thing.
Well, you know, I guess this question for me is coming from, like, I get a ton of people writing into me saying, you know, I'm 54, I feel like a disgusting man if I want to date girls in their 20s, but I do. I do want to date women in their 20s. Is that allowed? And I always say, like, as long as they're over the legal age, like, play ball. Like, have fun.
I don't think there should be shame involved because they're not children. You know,
right.
It's not like they're looking to date, like, in the elementary school, like, playground. But, I mean, sometimes the bar scene seems just as young as that elementary school playground. So as long as you're into and can handle the fact that maybe she might not be having the conversations you want to have, and you know what you're in getting into, it's fine.
Yeah. Cool.
So just know it's complicated.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to talk to Adam about all that because he has some rules about dating younger women or things to do in order to attract younger women to you. Because every time that I've seen, I feel like we're on speed today. We're talking so fast.
We are.
We are. Jeez, we got to slow down a little bit. We're just so excited to be here. So every time I see him out, he's 50 plus and he is always with somebody who is between the ages of 25 and 30, super hot and super intelligent. As well.
Throwing a curveball.
I know, exactly. Ow. So when we get back, we're going to talk to Adam Gallad. Yeah, and we are going to analyze this and talk about dating younger women. All right. Welcome back to the Ask Women podcast. We have Adam Gallad with us. He is the author of 10 books. He taught at Stanford. He is Emmy
Poetry
nominated. Yes, he is a dating expert. And he is banging 22-year-olds and having a lot of fun at it.
I already made this joke earlier, but because of like your list of credentials, we need to change your name to just Adam like God instead of we got to take out the
Adam God.
You and my mom. No, I'm just thinking about you and my mom.
So what is the secret to dating? Actually, tell a little bit about like your dating life and women that you date. Because I was saying before, you don't just date like hot young women. They're hot young women who are also intelligent and awesome and amazing.
And has this always been the case or is this something that you've just gotten good at as you've gotten older?
Oh, definitely. As I've gotten more experience. We don't like to use the word older. I got married when I was 23. I was traveling around the world, met a beautiful blonde drill sergeant, sharpshooter, Israeli officer. So
what? She was blonde and
and she had an apartment. And and she was like super highly educated, super highly creative, whatever. I fell in recognition. That's what I always say. It wasn't even love. I just said, I know you. I'm going to marry you. I literally said that.
Oh, I like that term.
Yeah. So I just knew I was going to marry her. And so we got married. I was like 23.
How long from when you met her to when you married her?
5 months.
Wow.
You ever heard the term impetuous youth? Me. So, I got married really young. We traveled the world, went to graduate school together, had kids. We still have kids. And I got single, which I always say. I never say I got divorced because I don't define myself as divorced, but I decide to define myself as single.
Okay.
At age 39, having never really been on a date as an adult, having never gone to a bar. You know, I was, Chuck E. Cheese, lots of Chuck E. Cheese, lots of Disneyland, lots of playgrounds, no bars, right?
Vegas. That's crazy.
So I had no idea how to meet women. And in fact, I still felt married. You know, if you've ever been in a long-term relationship, it was like embarrassing. Plus, I felt like my life was crushed because my family was my life and all that. And it was a peaceful divorce, but still I had no experience. Like, where do you meet girls? I don't know. I'll go back to the playground. No.
Yeah.
So I did what most sort of married dads do. I dated all the single moms from the baseball team that I coached.
Right.
And that was great because it comes with juice boxes and, you know, fruit punch.
Orange slices.
Yeah, orange slices, right? And when I left in the morning, I was like a sandwich and a bag. So that was awesome. And I had no idea how to do anything. I was really lost. And then someone said, well, have you heard of this thing called online dating? And I'm like, well, what's that? And they showed me. I'm like, I can write to them. So I, you know, I've
Mr. Poetry.
Yeah, exactly. All my life, I've written poetry. I've written screenplays. I did like 20 TV shows, lots of movies. And so I know how to craft feeling through language. And so I started writing profiles, and it became like this new art form for me. And I don't know how long we go back, Marnie, but
it's like 5 years.
You know, all my friends are like, what are you meeting all these beautiful women? I'm like, there's this thing called online dating where you put up a profile and all these women write to you. And they're like, no, they don't. And I said, well, let me see your profile. And they had no idea how to communicate with a woman. And for me, it was literally like an art form. I would play with it and dropping sort of hints and teases and images and fantasy words and sensual language.
Men were hiring you to...
No.
Or you're helping them out and writing their profile.
Well, I wrote a book about it. So okay. I was writing a movie for Disney, I think, and I wrote on a whim, I wrote a book about how to construct a profile that speaks to women's heart in a language that they actually feel. And kind of the mode is brass balls, tender heart. Like, you really have to show both sides of this thing.
Right.
And it works. And I sort of published this book online. It became a huge hit. And suddenly I was a dating guru. But I had really had by then a couple of years of experiencing a lot of dates, you know, a lot of women and a lot of experience.
No. Let me ask you, what are some mistakes that men are making? Because I feel that's where they're ruining their chances.
Right. So I agree with you. Here's the thing. And women do it too, by the way. I also have a whole suite of products and programs for women because they make the same mistakes from the other direction. So the mistakes men make, and it's a natural mistake, and so you have to have compassion. Men evolved basically over the million years or so that we've been around to basically hunt, right? So we hunt, we wink, we go that way. You know, we don't see, we point, and we communicate without speaking. So men really haven't evolved to talk very well.
Right.
And express their emotions, express their feelings, because it wasn't important.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't important, right? Whereas the women were back in the cave or the village or the spa these days, I guess, with other women and the kids trying to figure out who's on my side, who's not on my side, who's safe. And so women developed speech, and you have 5 speech centers. We have 1. If we damage our speech center in the upper, what is it, upper left, what's it called, lobe, we can't talk. You got
That's
4 fucking backup units.
We're pretty awesome.
You're awesome that way. And so we call it women's intuition today, right?
Yeah.
So women basically communicate, use language to connect, right? Mm-hmm. Men use language to convey information. So most online sort of dating profiles for men are what I call garage sale profiles. They're like, okay, I'm a lawyer. I've been to 27 countries. I like to scuba dive. Date me. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why? Who are you? Where's your heart? What about your family?
I'm getting no feeling
from
your profile.
Love? Yeah, who do you care about? Like, what do you dream of? You know, what turned you on, right? So so that's the number one mistake. Men communicate like men, which is, again, normal. But you really have to think, how can you inflame the imagination of a woman who doesn't know you yet? So like, what I teach in my online dating book is how to basically get women to write you first. And that's what happens. So
really?
Totally.
So you don't even have to like pursue them?
Dude, I am you looking at me. I'm 5'9". I don't have all my hair. I'm not some tall Greek god at all. I got literally 2,500 emails to me last year in a 6-month period because of the quality of the profiles. Because you offer something. You know, you invite them into a world. You craft a world. No matter who you are, you can do this.
And you're not lying. It's not like you're making up
never.
A world.
Oh, of course not.
You really do have an exciting world. And even if, like, let's say there are guys who are listening right now saying, oh, well, I work a 9-to-5 job and I do this and this. I'm not very interested.
Right.
What do you say to these
guys? It's a great question. So, and one of the other mistakes, and I'll give you a great example. I always tell in my book, I tell men, don't write your job title. Because immediately everyone's nodding, right?
Like, yeah,
you're in a box.
So yeah, because you're in a box, you're like, oh, he's a lawyer. I dated a lawyer. Lawyers are assholes.
Right.
No more lawyers, right? So what I and this is about speaking to the heart of a woman, because the core of a woman generally is, how do I love? How do I feel love? That's generally the dialogue that's going on in most women's minds and bodies. So what you do instead is you talk about how you serve other people, how you connect to other people. So even if you're at a 9-to-5, you don't say what your job is, but you say how you help people. Right? How you connect with people. And you talk about the people in your life. I love my friends, and you talk about why. You know, I talk about my high-vibing tribe, you know, of, I do have a very high-vibing tribe of, you know, entrepreneurial, thought leader, crazy people. But whatever you are, you have a tribe. You have a friends. And it's, you have it at friends, right? You have friends.
You're only Italian.
You talk about you know, what you love about the people you work with, you know? Find something positive and human connection, and they're like, oh, this guy's a heart.
And that's sexy. Like, a woman wants a guy who has a really fun crew. Like, I think that's the sexiest thing, to know that he has great male friends and, like, like he's called them a tribe.
Yeah.
That's it's a really turn-on.
And their pictures, by the way, it's really funny. You know, when you look at guys' pictures online, they'll be like, here I am with my shirt off in the woods. Here I am with my shirt off in the basement. Here I am with my shirt off in the kitchen.
The crop with, like, half of the face. You're like, just make it a full crop.
Here's where I macheted my ex-wife, you know, and you can see part of her face sticking to mine.
So what do you recommend then for pictures?
Well, that's a great question, because you mentioned the tribe. So you want to show that you're not a lone wolf. So for men, I recommend this. I recommend 4 pictures, right? Just to make it easy. First of all, don't put 20 pictures, because then you're like a needy motherfucker, right? And then you're like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Men aren't here for display. Women are here for display. Men are here to discern. So 4 aspects of yourself. I always say 1 picture that's you being dignified. So in a suit, if you've ever been in a tux, but looking good if you're on stage. If you're on stage teaching or in any kind of authority position, women like that, okay? That's number 1.
Power.
Power picture. Number 2, outdoor, athletic, something that shows your body. Hopefully you're in relative shape, but something that shows you healthy and outdoors, so that you're not, like, seen just in the bathroom, holding, you know, doing a selfie. Don't do that!
Which I hate.
Oh, God, the worst, right? Number 3, you want to have a picture of you with your friend. What is it? Then you with your friends. So a social world, so you're not some lone, scary wolf. Because if I had a sister, you know, it's like every guy out there is an axe murderer until proved otherwise.
Right.
So you want to show that you have friends. Yeah. And don't put a picture with you, those hot girls you asked to take a picture with you at the Wynn, you know, when you're in Vegas. Because when would he go, oh, he hangs around with, like, little hotties. Why would I want to be with him?
Right.
Or don't even use pictures of you with your, you know, facial hair cousins. So, like, to show that you like women, the women go, ew, he hangs out with, like, ugly girls. So something in the middle, basically, hopefully with guys and girls. Don't try to show that you're popular. So with women, just show that you have a social world. And then the 4th one should be something fun and provocative. So I've done all kinds of crazy things. So, like, the one that I, well, not that crazy, but but one that I use is when I was in the Amazon, I do crazy shamanic Amazon, like, medicine journeys with in the middle of
with ayahuasca and
yes sir
damn,
life changed.
I just watched a documentary about
dude that is
wow.
That is everyone listening, ayahuasca, look it up. It's the next phase of humanity.
You have been hanging out with Joe Rogan.
I haven't hung out with Joe Rogan.
I want to talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. I mean, but it's great. It's mind expansion. But when I was down there, there's this animal called a tapir. It's related to the elephant, and it looks kind of like a pig with a big pendulous nose. You probably dated people like this.
Right.
And he came wandering out of this woman, this female, came wandering out of the forest, and I was, like, literally, like, scratching its stomach. And so we have a picture of me scratching the stomach of this horrific animal, right? And, like, I put it up, and I go,
yeah, you can love ugly. That's attractive.
I know. It got me all the ugliest women with pendulous noses. Yes, right. That's what I wanted.
Come take me.
But then you put, like, a funny thing on it. Women will write, like, what's that animal? Or, like, is that a pig? And I would always respond, excuse me, that was my last girlfriend. And I really find that offensive. You know, and then suddenly you're having fun online. So you have some, these are like, it's like those long lines. I forget what they call them. Those fishing lines with lots of little hooks. Your profile should have all those little hooks. Like, here's your moral high bar. Here's your electric contrast. Here's your sensual language. Here's your promise of the future. Here's what it feels like to be with me. Here's something funny. Here's something inspiring. And they're like, oh, wow, there's a complex human being here.
Yeah.
So whoever you are, you can do that. And I show you how to do that.
That's wonderful.
Wow. Actually, and I'm going to have a link up on my site. So wingirlmethod.com/AdamG. I'm going to have all that information there about where to get all of these products. So you have a ton of products that are wonderful.
And Adam, look, you're an older dude. How old are you?
Hey, I'm a man of experience.
You're a man of experience.
I'm in my late 20s.
Okay, so you're in your late 20s. But internet and online dating was not around when you first started dating.
No. I only first started dating like 2001.
Yeah,
so.
and
it was there.
There are a lot of people who are against online dating.
A lot of people who are against.
And what do you
delicious
things.
Food,
what do you
eating pussy. I don't know. Well, you know, figure it out.
What do you say to those people that
I
are
know
having
people
trouble?
Who say that? What?
What do you say to those people that are having trouble meeting people but are against online dating?
Well, like, they're nuts. First of all, the latest statistics are something like 19% of marriages now start online. It's the second highest way of meeting.
So do like murders?
Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true. Look, you can. There's in my book, I tell especially women, safety. And I teach men how to, like, make sure a woman feels safe. Always meet in a public place and all that kind of stuff. There's no reason to be against it. 65%, I believe, of people now online date who are single. There are so many niche sites, and there are ways, if you do it right, to filter correctly so that you're only meeting the people you really want to meet.
I agree. I feel like it's old school thinking. I mean, right. We live in a life now where we have who we are is our personality online. I mean, we're fools to think that it's different for dating. It's like that's who we are.
Yeah. You don't only have to use online dating. You can do other things as well. It's just another avenue.
Oh, I have a whole system how to use online dating to filter people into your party circuit so that now you're doing both. And you know, will you write to them and say, hey, look, you know, I hate online dating, right, because it's still that thing. I hate online dating, but you seem really cool. I think you would really fit well into my into this group of friends, you know. Why don't
Do you call
come?
It the party circuit?
No, I call it.
I want to be part of that.
I know, right? But it's like, come join my group of friends. We get together every Thursday night at this place, and then you just build a world from your online and offline worlds and make it natural and normal. Say, bring a friend, bring a guy. I don't care. You sound really cool. I think I like you.
I love that. Mm. Well, I want to like transfer this over to younger women.
Me too.
For you, okay? So you are dating online, and you're meeting a lot of younger women on there who are approaching you. So how do you make this happen? What do you do?
All right. So we'll take a big step back. All right. So I was married till I was 39, right? Went through most of my 40s and have dated women all ages. You know, not Betty White, but, you know, up to Betty White.
Right.
And down to Miley Cyrus. Well, I guess Selena Gomez turned 21 today. And, you know, I didn't start with any prejudice toward one thing or another. And I was really raising my kids through the 40s. They're now in college. And so I have kind of stayed life, right? But now kids are out of the house. Right?
Yeah.
I'm free for the first time in my entire adult life.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm free to travel, and, you know, my business is mobile. I write and I think and I teach. That's what I do. And so I could be anywhere. And so that's my lifestyle. So who am I going to be with? Women in their 30s generally looking to get married or have kids, which is great, you know, but I'm not really looking for that right now. So that leaves me 20s and 40s. 40s generally have kids at home. They can't travel, or they have, what's it called? Jobs.
Job.
They have jobs.
Right.
What was that thing that people used to have, right? They have jobs, so they can't travel.
Losers.
Yeah, really. So it leaves me 20s and 70s, basically. So, you know, call me old-fashioned. No, I'm going to go for 20s. So, and here's the amazing, and I promise you, when I first started dating, I had no, I didn't think it was possible. I said, why would they want to go out with me? I had it totally backwards. So here's what's happened, I think, in the last 15 years or so. The internet has flattened the world. You know, everybody knows. I was in Colombia recently. I was in the Caribbean. Everyone reads the same thing. They read the same sites. They all know BuzzFeed. They all know, you know, all the same things that we read. They know about the same stuff. So, like, the world is flattened. And if you're authentically youthful instead of falsely young, which is one of the key distinctions I make in my program for men on how to date younger, if you're authentically youthful, meaning you're vital, you're curious, you're interested, you follow what's going on, you're developing yourself emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, physically, socially.
You're not miserable, basically.
You're
still looking for adventure.
Yeah, you're still having adventure, right? Yeah. And so that makes you authentically youthful. So I actually get along better with women in their 20s who are like that, by the way, not just any woman in the 20s.
Right.
People who are smart and ambitious and who read and who are internet savvy, you know, so we just get along easily. I mean, my best male friends, you know them, Marnie, are in their 20s. Like, how did that happen?
Right. Is it hard to find, we were talking about this earlier, like things that you relate to because you have such a different background, the things that you know versus what they know, or is that not even
a
problem?
No, I watched Barney when they were watching Barney just for different reasons. No.
That's true. He has sons their age, so he knows their whole world.
No, it's true.
Like, I thought that was going in a weird sexual direction.
Me too. I was like, where are you going
with
this?
Barney, I knew Barney. No, so it's a great question. In fact, I don't just date anyone in their 20s, right? So, well, the first woman who wrote to me, she was literally 20 years old. I was like 49. And
do you have your age listed on your profile?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Huh. So she was like 20, and she was amazingly smart. She basically came from Eastern Europe. She with her family. She put herself through school. She was getting herself to medical school.
What?
She had read all my, you know, but she wrote to me because we had the same favorite books. I was like, well, this is interesting. And we wrote back and forth. And we ended up being really close. She's on a different side of the country now. But we're still really close. And she's someone we have a lot in common in terms of our interests. And what I tell men is, look, don't try to put yourself into their world. I have two ways of looking at how men can carry themselves in the world. And, you know, now the only advantage of getting older is perspective, right?
Right.
So young men, naturally, by who they are on the hunt, right? You're on the hunt. You're on the hunt for women. You're on the hunt for identity. You're always trying to prove yourself. You're fighting against your father. You're fighting against your bosses. You're saying, this is me. This is my identity. This is my identity. You get to 40, and it's like a roller coaster. Chug, 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 chug.
I'm like, oh, you're that guy.
And then you look over the top, and you're like, oh, shit. we're going down.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a good time. And so something really shifts. When they say life begins at 40, that kind of happens. So kind of if you're awake and awake to who you are and awake to possibilities today, you're kind of in the same state as young 20s because you're, okay, I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to get caught up in social expectations or bolstering my stupid ego, going back to ayahuasca. You know, it's like not that important to me anymore to prove my identity. I'm really here to live my life.
Right.
So that kind of happened to me at 40. So when you're in this phase of life where you've basically got your identity, and women tell me this all the time. I always ask younger women, why do you date guys who are older? And they go, they know who they are. They're not children.
Right.
Right. They and another thing they always say is they pay more attention to me. Like they're more interested in who I am. And it's not a slight like young guys suck. It's not that. It's that young guys are, for very good reasons, building their identity. They're more concerned with their own.
Yeah, they're focusing on themselves. They have to.
And they should.
Nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas I got lots of time to talk to somebody. And I also bring something. You know, if you have some experience, you can bring experience. You can bring mentorship. You can bring ideas, contacts. You know, you have more inspiration to offer and
for
you
sure.
have more interest in them. And here's a note for any dads listening, by the way. I have found that one of the most useful or attractive things that I have, qualities I have, is just I'm naturally attentive because I raised babies, you know, right. into adulthood. So I know it. I watch them. I know what's going on. I know when they're not safe. So I'm naturally attentive and protective, which is something young guys generally don't think about. So there are lots of reasons younger women are attracted to guys of experience.
For sure. What's happened? Have there been any examples with these younger women and coming in contact with your children?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's the dynamic there?
Oh, they get along great. They're like
I'm
really
sure they
good
do.
Friends.
Yeah.
They're like,
oh,
the
yeah, do you like, yeah, they're like, do you have a copy of the homework? Like that.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Perfect. Just kidding.
Add me on Facebook.
Well, tell me about women in their 20s, because you were saying women in their 30s are like this. Women in their 40s are like this.
Not everybody, but yeah, okay.
But tell me about women who are in their 20s, because even for guys who are 20 yeah. who are listening to this, I want them to know what women in their 20s are like, what they're going through. And, you know,
right.
we can obviously chime in because we were women in our yeah. 20s. But I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, this is just from my experience. I've never been a woman in my 20s. I've thought about it. But I have not been one. So I gotta stop listening to the Dan Savage podcast. this is my experience. Right? So it's a slice of life. Everything is available today. If you're at all awake to what the fuck is going on in the history of humanity, if you have any perspective, everything is available for the first time in human history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All knowledge is available, right? So women who are awake to that realize that they can create what they want in the world, right? So the ones that I know are highly ambitious. They read a lot. They're aware of what's going on. They've read the game. They know all the tricks. They don't want to be bothered with bullshit, right?
Right.
And they can see through it quickly. So they want to expand their world, and they really want to experience the world. Kind of like, I was like that anyway before the internet. So like my version of the internet was the New York Times growing
right.
up in New York, right? So it's really funny. I can like trace my early life through which section I would pull out first. So first it was the sports section, right? Follow the Mets, follow the Knicks, all that. Then it was the magazine section, and the back of the magazine section was this magical land for me.
My favorite's always the obituaries.
Oh yeah, very nice. We will not be hanging out. but people love the obituaries because you learn about the world, right? You learn about cool people.
Well, because it's funny.
Or you just like when people die.
No, yeah.
Okay. That's sweet. I'm glad I'm on this side of the table.
Yeah, well.
But so the back of the magazine section is this magical thing when I was growing up. Because first of all, there are pictures of like castles and houses that were for sale around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like high-end real estate. And I was like in suburbia. And I'm like, yeah, castles, like villas. And I would learn about
people
all those places.
Do this.
People live like this. And then there were like adventure tours. And then student exchange tours. And we had no money, right?
Right.
And so I would dream of traveling the world. And I did it. I ended up like working three jobs, including janitor of town hall. When I was like 15, I sent myself to Europe. And I was like the first one in my group who ever went to Europe.
Wow.
That's all I wanted to do is explore and see the world. Well, today, you know, people in their 20s who are awake to what's possible, who aren't like stuck in their religious or cultural or parental, you know, strictures, can see that they can do anything today. You can go anywhere in the world. And so that's sort of my natural way of being, and that's the kind of person I'm attracted to. So,
yeah,
I find that women feel like anything's possible, and they really want to live their life, especially in their 20s, before they do have kids, because that does, you know, that does slow you down
for sure
on the traveling thing for a while. So, yeah. They're excited about life, and I don't mean to put down other women. By the way, I always try to make a point of this. It's not like women in their 40s are like bitter, angry bitches, you know. but you know, they've got more to worry about. They've got mortgages, they got kids, they got
ex-husbands.
They have more on their plate. So younger women are more enthusiastic about living life, you know, which is a very revitalizing thing for a guy, too, to be around that.
Yeah, that was a good answer. I actually want to go into analyze this right now because we have a caller on the line and he's been waiting for a very long time to speak to us. And Adam, hopefully you'll stick around to answer some of these questions.
Sure.
So what we do for analyze this is we have writers, people write in emails to us or call us on the phone and they give us a situation that they're having with a woman or with a man. And then we break it down for them and analyze this.
It's kind of like being married again.
Pretty much.
Right.
All right. So hello. Who's there?
Hello. Yeah, it's me, Kendall.
Hi, Kendall.
Hey, Kendall.
How are you?
Hey, guys. Listen, just want to say how I love your show. I never miss it.
That feels awesome.
We love you, Kendall.
Yeah, yeah, you're great.
I actually have a question for you. You guys are the perfect people to ask this. You know, are women really? Do looks really matter to women?
Do looks really matter to women? That's funny because talking about that before. So actually, I'm going to let Adam answer this question. So we have Adam Gallad with us right now, and he is a dating expert. He's written 10 books. We've been talking about dating online and dating younger women, and I think he is the perfect person to answer this question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, man, how are you?
How are you? Hey, man.
All right. So
I just want to, you know, I've always had this, I've always kind of struggled with this. Do looks really matter to women?
Okay.
We've got it. He'll take
so
care.
So men, you know, there's an old truism, and it's a truism because it's true, is that men tend to be much more visual, right? And I can go into the whole evolution of male vision, right?
Yeah.
Just if something just moves on the periphery, we're like alert to it. Women aren't. So I won't get into that. So we tend to be more visual in general because we've lived our life through our eyes. Women, yeah, of course. On one level, women do care, of course. But I want to put a big caveat on this. What really attracts women to men, I think, on a deeper level, and there are always variations, right? Is do they admire you? Uh-huh. Are you a man who they actually admire? And it has absolutely been my experience with the men I work with and everything, is if you're an admirable man, if you're doing something worthwhile in your life, if you carry yourself with dignity, if you're serving the community and serving the world in any kind of noble way, women are like, God, I like that guy. And you cannot be the best looking guy in the world and still attract highly attractive women. So all that said and done, take care of your health. Don't drink Coca-Cola. I hope you're not a sponsor. You know, like watch your food, work out, stay healthy and vital. But know that in general, women want to look up to their men.
And Adam was talking earlier about with the online dating profiles where you see the heart, where he really makes his profile so you can see the heart of a man. And really, truly, what it boils down to is if a woman's attracted to your heart and who you are.
And
I've had several situations in my life where I've been very, very, very attracted to definitely not the most traditionally handsome man. So, you know, it just, again, varies case to case, but the opportunity is always there.
And look, my friend, if you don't feel that you're worthy enough or you don't feel like you're good looking enough, that's what you're going to project to people.
You can tell.
You need to think about your self-worth.
Yeah, I've read that in Marnie's book and stuff,
It's also, Kendall, it's one of those things where women are really attracted to men who treat the people in their life well. There's nothing sexier to me than seeing how, you know, a man treats his mom, how he treats his friends. Yeah. So it's like, you know, when you start to radiate that and start to really do some work on your inner self and the way that you, what you're projecting, what you're putting out there, that's how you're really going to start to change things. And you're going to feel that change.
I will say this. There has been one underlying common denominator amongst the guys that I've been attracted to who aren't the most physically attractive.
Seinfeld?
Is
Larry David.
Yes, their love of Seinfeld. Is their confidence level has been high. They haven't had that insecurity. So I think what is important to work on is having the confidence to go along with all those great attributes. Because if you don't feel great about your looks, but you're doing all these nice things, it's not going to bring in the women the way that you would hope. You know, you have to have self-esteem.
I'll tell you a quick story. So I was out with my girlfriend months ago now, but she leaned over to me and said, that guy over there is so super hot. He looked like an Abercrombie model. She's like, I want to talk to him. So I was like, all right, well then go talk to him. She's like, I don't know how to. So I tapped him on the shoulder, said, this is my friend. And he was
like, giant shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Like swerving around. Yeah, the Ken doll swerving around. And so they had a conversation for about 15 minutes and I started talking to somebody else and she came back up to me and said, Marnie, I was giving you the help me eyes for the past 13 minutes. I wanted you to save me from that conversation. He was good looking, but he was the most unattractive man I've ever talked to.
Of course.
And I thought that was an interesting statement because she was bored out of her mind. Yeah. So for us, yes, looks are important. Okay, that's what we see first before we see who you are and what your character is, and that's what really helps us shape how we perceive you.
Yeah, and there's a lot, there's so much to say about this. I have a friend who's she's a Playboy model, cover girl twice, also 2 degrees, Rice University, no slouch, like an amazing young woman, right?
Did you say no slouch?
Yeah. She's no slouch.
She's like her back is.
Yeah, she's got great posture. I'm all about posture. That's like all I care about.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but she was scoliosis. She called me from a rooftop bar. I think it was in Denver. And she's like, I'm sitting here with this amazingly beautiful friend of mine, and nobody's walking up. No one's talking to us. They're afraid. And then she walked to the elevator, and everybody rushed her. Like, right, very typical thing. What happens is, with very good-looking people, we have a male friend in common who
he's been on the show.
Yeah, okay. So and what happens with really good-looking people, either they don't develop the other aspects of their personality so that they make a great partner because they don't
have syndrome.
To, right? Or pretty boy syndrome. We live in L.A. Or the opposite is they don't trust people's love and affection.
Yep.
So they're always pushing away. They become emotionally very unstable, and they can't love because they get so much attention for not who they are, but what they look like, that they don't trust love. So looks are way overrated when it comes to actual happiness.
I completely agree. Yeah. Well, I hope that answers your question, but thanks for calling in.
Oh, absolutely. I actually really, this is like the best podcast like I've ever, really.
Oh, what? I love you.
Kendall!
We love you. You can call in every single day. I'll give you my cell phone number later.
but thank you. Thanks for answering.
Go get them.
Have a good show.
thanks, Kendall.
All right, I have some more questions. So I want to pick the best one, actually. Okay, so here is another question. All right, he says, hello, everyone. This is from Arthur. I've been working part-time and temp jobs for the last year or so. I've been fortunate to receive financial help from my family, but the downside or upside is I'm living at home. I want to start dating, but part of me is unsure if the women I want will want a man in my situation. Should I concentrate on finding a full-time job and moving out before I try dating? P.S. Love your show, and Marnie's Wing Girl Method saved my life when it comes to interacting and attracting women. Thanks, Arthur.
He said to throw that in.
But yeah, so what do you have to say to Arthur? Is that like...
I'm curious what stage of his life he's in, because we've all had the time where you, after college, or I'll tell myself that, we all moved back home and you're hanging out in dad's basement, and that's okay, you know, but I think if he's 30 or if he's getting up there, like, absolutely, women want a man who is independent, who's making his own money.
Yeah, I mean, but it also depends on what age the woman is you're meeting and what stage of life she's in herself, you know, It depends on what he's looking for. If he's looking for a woman that's serious and wants to settle down and have kids and all those types of things, she's probably looking for those things. But if you, like our friend over here was saying, if you're a good look, if you have a good perspective on life, if you're adventurous, you have a good attitude, it really doesn't matter where you are living and your financial situation. People are attracted to that. And that might matter down the line.
Yeah, it's going to be weird when you go upstairs and your mom's like, oh, good morning, you guys.
Yeah.
Did you want
it's
some
definitely
waffles?
Not an asset. However, I want to say something really important about mobility in a sense. I always say, when I teach, I always say, a man with a plan is sexy.
Mm-hmm.
A man without a plan is not sexy. All the girls are nodding.
Amen.
Yeah, okay.
Amen.
So that means on a date, like, you have a plan. Like, I have a whole thing in my book called State the Date, Claim the Date. Here's what's going to happen. Bam, right? I'm going to create an experience for you because I'm the guy. But a man who's in motion in his life, you could be living at home and working on your own company or studying for your whatever degree. But if you're in motion... That's the important thing. If a woman, you can have a great job, but be a static motherfucker and not growing emotionally or any other way, and have lots of money and be like that guy with the
shoulders.
It's
the way that you frame something. It's not about the position that you're in. It's the way that you think about it, the way that you frame it to other people.
The way I call it is be the ride women want to get on. And yes, it's a double entendre, but it's also true. Like, be the ride women want to get on. Invite them into your life.
And I love the way that you put that, because I never had really broken it down or articulated it like that. But knowing that you're in motion and you see a guy's path and what he's doing, and you guys, vice versa, you don't want to date a girl who's just, she has a great job, but she's bored out of her mind. That's boring. You know, it's like, I think it's an equal thing. And
absolutely.
You want a good way of looking at it.
So how does he present this then? So if he is gone on a date with a girl... And she says, where do you live? And he says, well, with my parents. Like,
I think he should be focusing on his finances. He should get out of there. Absolutely.
Okay. He shouldn't be dating right now?
If I was him, I would say, get your life together and come from a place of power.
He didn't say how old he was?
No, he didn't say how old he was.
Could he at least
So
be
you
dating?
Said for him, so you're saying right now, like, take 6 months and just say, I'm not dating these 6 months, but I'm going to work my ass off.
I'm going to be the right
getting
woman. Yeah, absolutely.
Out of my
I would
ass.
Put my attention there, sure.
So what if it is a guy who maybe isn't as motivated and who is living at his parents' home for 2 years? Can he still date? Does he still have
go
options?
To CVS and date one of the cashiers?
My mother works at CVS.
Your mom again.
Well, the thing is like, is he saying, am I perceived as a total loser, basically? Like, do I have the right to be dating right now?
It sounds
be
like,
honest.
It sounds like he thinks he's a total loser.
Yeah.
And he needs to get out of that mental state, because that's going to bring him nowhere but down, not only in a relationship way, but in a life way.
Yeah, I got to say this because I can't help but just hold this in. One time was really drunk out and met a guy. In my mind, God, he was hot. He was charming. He was tall. He had ironic glasses. The next he asked me out and I was like into it, super soaked about it. We met out at a bar. And I got there and we started talking and he forgot his credit card. I was like, all right, whatever. And then I found out he lived at home. And I got to be honest, man, it changed everything. I went home. I was like, sorry, man, I'm out.
And how old are you?
I was 25.
Okay.
You know, it's like you got to see a man in motion, though. And I didn't see a man in motion.
But that's different. So he wasn't an exciting person.
No, but when I found out he lived at home and I didn't know. And also huge beer goggles, by the way, was a thing. That's real. So
no, that's an honest response. Okay. So, Arthur, hopefully that gave you some answers. I really like what Adam had to say, because you were saying, you know, I have some part time jobs and temp jobs for right now, which makes it sound like, you know, you're not really sure what you're doing with your life. So maybe make a plan, take 6 months to do it, and then to execute that plan, and then afterwards when things are happening for you, things are in motion, that's when you can start dating again.
Yeah, and lastly, I just want to say this: when you're doing something that you're not proud of, you're not happy, and then you won't be happy with the person you're with, right? Just because
absolutely
you're not happy with yourself. So
it's deep, Kristen.
That was good.
It's rare.
She should get from reading all those obituaries.
Exactly.
Wisdom.
That was a quote in one of them.
Wisdom.
Okay, here is the next question from Sean from Virginia Beach, and this is actually going to be our last one. How much would it bother you if I started dating? If you started dating a new guy and an ex hookup is in his group of friends, do women just instinctively know that you've hooked up with this girl? Would that get brought up in their conversation? How do I handle it when my date asks, who's that girl who's being so friendly to me? I'm not really sure of a good way to say, oh, that's the future you. Joke, but seriously. Sean in Virginia Beach. So he's saying, like, should he tell this new girl that he's dating that you slept with another girl in your friendship circle? Like, when do you bring that up? Does that make sense?
I think I need to chart this out like a football.
So
let me get this straight.
He has a bunch of girlfriends, and he's hooked up with almost all of them.
I think he's referring to one. His friend group.
In his friend group.
So they used
and
to bang, and now she's in the friend group. And now this new girl he's going to bring around. But why did he say that they're still friendly? Or she's still like really friendly to him?
That I don't know. That, like, that's the interesting point for me,
nice,
too, that
catch.
She's acting overly friendly to you. So,
if
but
you're flirting with another girl, then obviously,
friendly to her.
Well,
not to him.
That's first of all, don't bring your new girlfriend into that lion's den, because this girl that you used to hook up with is probably going to try and sabotage you in some way.
Depending on the girl. Yes.
I had
this situation. So it depends on the emotional maturity of both the girls, basically.
Huh.
So if, like, I had this situation, you know the woman I've been dating last week.
Yeah.
And so I said, we're going to go to this party. It's an amazing, like, big Hollywood party. But, like, my ex-girlfriend invited me. And she's with this guy, and they're totally in love, and don't worry about it. And she was like, all right. I almost lost the girl because of this. Because the ex-girlfriend, because she's not emotionally mature, like, let the new one know that she had dibs on me in some kind of way. Like, she was really crass and really sexual in a joking way, but in a really inappropriate way.
Right.
And I almost lost the new girl that night. So she didn't have the emotional maturity. But if the person – I also have many girlfriends who have been really important to me who are still in my life. And they'll meet each other. And there's always a little bit of – you know, there's always a little bit of energy. But if the old girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend, whatever, or the ex-woman – she's probably still a woman, is cool about it.
Let's hope so.
And doesn't make that kind of claim on the man, that's good. And if the new woman is emotionally sort of self-validating and knows herself and feels confident in the relationship, it shouldn't be a big deal. Mm-hmm. How often does that happen? I would probably say less than 50%.
For sure. Yeah.
It's certainly possible, but it depends on the emotional maturity.
So should he tell her that he's hooked up with this other girl in his friendship circle?
You said that she is acting very friendly.
Yeah, she's going to know right away.
Yeah, she'll know anyway.
We know everything.
They do. I always tell men that. So I have this program you could link up to it called the Boldness Code about like being bold. Like meaning, and that, what that means is make your truth and make your will felt cleanly in the world without hesitation or shyness or shame on the one hand, or on the other hand, without any kind of manipulation or bullying. Just say it. I just want you to know before you walk in that, you know, I used to go out with this woman and it's over. And I just wanted you to know that so you were up to date. That's fucking respectful of the new woman.
I think so as well. Because I had that situation actually, where my husband, I would say, didn't do it correctly. Because it feels uncomfortable to be the person in the dark, especially when other people around you know something's going on.
Right.
And one of his best female friends, who I actually felt no animosity towards, I hadn't really met her for the first year and a half of our relationship, but he never mentioned that they had hooked up at one point. Like, they actually did one time out of their 20-year friendship that they had hooked up. And we were at our place, and his sister was in town, or a friend of his was over, who's just like an asshole, and wanted to cause trouble. And he made a joke about it, and everybody in the room got quiet for a second. And I was like, something's not right here. Something feels very uncomfortable that I am not aware of, and I don't know what it is. And I sort of just like brushed it under the carpet, and I went into the kitchen, and my husband said to me, I have to tell you something that I never brought up before in the past, because it doesn't mean anything, but here's what happened. I want to tell you about it. And I was happy he told me, but I do wish he had told me earlier about that, because I'd interacted with her. I went to her wedding. Not that it's a big deal, he was just inside of her at one point. It's not that big a deal. But
who wasn't?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it did. It made me feel very much in the dark, and I felt lied to, and I didn't like that. So I agree with what you guys are saying, that you should definitely be bold and own who you are. You have feelings for this new girl now, but say, you know what, I used to hook up with that girl, but I'm totally into you right now.
I wouldn't say it that way.
And I'm sorry.
I used to anally penetrate her on Friday evenings. Details are not important.
I feel this is never a win situation for the man. I have girls who we have a really close group of friends from high school, and there's about four girls in it. I've hooked up with all of them. I'm just one of those guys where I hook up with my girlfriends, because after hanging out with girls for a while and your sexual shit happens.
So, Mo, is that where our relationship's going?
Well, yeah.
Okay, good.
If I was single,
he has those big group roofie dinners.
If I was single and you girls were all single, I would probably go there. But because of it, my girlfriend has never gotten along with these girls.
Really?
And I can see why, though. To this day, it's become a real problem for her, to where I've really cut off my girlfriends from high school because, you know, I had to make the decision as a man moving forward. If this is the woman that I love and is there for me in my life, these old relationships I have are not as important. And you really got to weigh that out.
But you also are still a human being who had a history.
Yeah. But you know, that ego of, well, I will never bros before hoes, or I got to stick up for my friends. Well, look, whoever your partner is or the person your relationship is, you're in with, needs to be a good friend or your best friend. And for that matter,
your only friend in your case.
Exactly. So, but what I'm saying for this guy is, if this does become a problem for his lady, and you have to make a choice, like, don't make that be a deal breaker if you really love your woman. Because
at what point do you tell her? Like, at what point do you
before
bring
they physically
up
meet.
Mid-sex
before they yeah, physically meet? But let's say it was a girl that you kind of just hooked up with a couple of times. Do you have to tell her?
I just think if you are connected to the other person in the moment, any time is fine. If you guys are really understanding toward one
another. And how do you say it? Because you were saying the way that I said it was incorrect. I used to bang this girl.
Yeah.
So what is the right way that is respectful, that won't cause the pot to be stirred?
Well, I also look at it from a guy's point of view. If I'm with a woman and she's been with a guy, I want to know. If I meet him, because I'm the big doofus going, hey, dude, let's be pals.
And that's what happened to Marnie. It's like when you're in that position, nothing's worse than feeling like you're the weirdo who
doesn't
know. And they're all snickering about it, and there you are. So you got to tell them before, I think early on, too.
Can I tell you the arrangement I had with the woman I've been dating the last couple of years? Marnie knows her. She's magnificent.
She's awesome.
By the way, she's 40, I guess 41. So I want to correct any like idea that I only date like really young girls. But she's stunning, right? At 40, like no one would believe it.
Yeah.
But she made a deal with me in the beginning. I call it kind of the man whore contract. And she said, that's what she calls it. She said, here's the thing. Because I said to her, like, a lot of the women I've dated are still part of my life. I've started a number of them in business, and we're still friends. I mean, I like them. And I said, and she said, you know, it's okay that if you're going to see somebody, but here's the deal I'd like to have. If you're going to see someone for lunch or something, just let me know. Like, no surprises. And that's a great deal. Like, straight honest. So I'm going to meet this person for lunch today. There's nothing going on, right? But we're friends. I help her out. She helps me out. Whatever. Or, you know, various people in my past life. But the deal was that she always knew. So there was nothing hidden. And I think that's the really mature way of having a relationship.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Truth.
Because when you start hiding it, then it can't, especially women can feel it when you're like holding something back or tippy-toeing around something.
I had that situation happen where I was the, I guess you could say, aggressor, where it came down on me. I had a really good friend in Chicago come into town, and I had never mentioned, he was my best friend when I was in the school in Chicago, and I had never really talked about him generally with my boyfriend. So he came to LA. I didn't know how to handle it. So I thought, well, if I just bring him up now it's going to seem weird. So then I just met up with him and was like, hey, let's go write for a little bit, because we went to like a writing school together. And I just figured, totally innocent, but I just am not telling my boyfriend because I don't know how. So right. I didn't. He found out, and it was like shit hit the fan, because then he thinks I'm trying to hide something, exactly, that we had something going on. And it clearly was not that. It just, I hadn't come
out. You're just uncomfortable.
So get it out in the open early. If this is a situation, you got to get this out in the open and be honest, you know?
The truth shall set you free.
It shall. It shall. And if the other person can't handle the truth, that's on their shoulders.
That's ayahuasca talking, isn't it?
It's Lifetime. Okay, yeah. just as a crazy sort of side note, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I've actually started writing a series of short Amazon books called The Character of Masculine Attraction, and the first one is called Tell the Truth. It's a little cheapo on Amazon. It's not out yet. It'll be out in August 2013.
I love it.
Just a small little book.
I love it. Fantastic.
I'm going through all character qualities.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's really needed for a lot of men. Well, we have been talking up a storm. My throat is actually hurting from this conversation.
I learned so much.
I know.
And
we did it all
stuff
so fast, too. But thank you, Adam, so much for being on the show. If you want to get more information on Adam, go to my website, winggirlmethod.com/AdamG, and that will I'll have it point towards the boldness code and like all of your other tons of other stuff from Adam. But thank you so much for being here. Okay, if you guys want us, I'm like racing now to write in questions, write to ask@askwomenpodcast.com. please follow us on Twitter @askwomenpodcast. What else do we got?
Well, Adam, do you have a Twitter?
Oh yeah, do you have a Twitter?
People too.
Facebook. We do Adam Gillard Today on Facebook. My Twitter is Adam Gillard. G-I-L-A-D, Adam Gillard.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, guys. And thank you, girls, for listening. We will see you next time on the Ask Women podcast.
We love hearing from you, so keep on sending in your tweets, you guys. We love reading all of them. And don't miss out on the chance to take our very important listener survey at podcastone.com. Your responses will help us make this show the very best it can be. It only takes about 3 minutes of your time and will help you get the instant gratification that comes with knowing you helped us out. We will love you for, is what we're saying. You can tell us how you really feel about the show and how to help us get to know you better. So do it now. Take the survey at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. And keep those tweets coming, because we love you so very much. Thanks.